From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. It's been 3 weeks since the massacre of 20 children and 6 adults at a Newtown, Connecticut grade school. At the time, President Barack Obama said, "We can't tolerate this anymore. These tragedies must end, and to end them, we must change." And now, there are some signs of change. Here in our state, Washington Senate Majority Leader and Seattle mayoral hopeful Ed Murray says he's going to push for a state ban on assault weapons. The Seattle City Council wants city lobbyists to seek in the 2013 legislature a ban on all assault weapons, a ban on large-capacity ammunition magazines, universal background checks that include gun shows. Yesterday, Seattle and King County began a gun buyback program. There's going to be a big march and rally taking place this Sunday on this issue. No word yet on where incoming Governor Jay Inslee is on any of this, but New York Governor Andrew Cuomo plans to propose today one of the country's most restrictive bans on assault weapons. New York already has a ban on at least some assault weapons, but Cuomo says it has more holes than Swiss cheese. The New York Times reports Governor Cuomo wants to broaden the number of guns and magazines covered by the law and make it harder for gun makers to tweak their products to get around the law. Cuomo even said in a radio interview that confiscation could be an option for assault weapons owned by New Yorkers. Gun rights groups seized on that comment, promoting the petition of a website of the White House asking the Obama administration to block any effort at confiscation. It declares, "We do not live in Nazi Germany." And this week, on the second anniversary of the shooting in Tucson that killed 6 people, one of the victims, former Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, and her former astronaut husband, Mark Kelly, announced a new gun control group, Americans for Responsible Solutions. In an interview with ABC host Diane Sawyer, Kelly did most of the talking.
How did we get to the point where 85% of the children in the world that are killed with guns are killed in the United States?
Giffords and Kelly are both gun owners, and they say they strongly support the Second Amendment. But to combat gun violence, the new organization plans to lobby Congress for strict controls on high-capacity magazines and assault weapons, and comprehensive background checks for private sales. Mark Kelly.
I bought a gun at Walmart recently, and I went through a background check. Why can't we just make it more difficult for criminals and the mentally ill to get guns?
But the NRA would say to you, they can get them illegally.
I don't agree with that. The gun lobby even opposes a gun purchaser being checked against the terrorist watch list.
ABC's Diane Sawyer talking to Mark Kelly. To combat gun violence, Americans for Responsible Solutions also plans to lobby Congress for programs to help identify mentally ill people and get them help. So what do you think about these ideas to reduce gun violence? I'm at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW, 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. UCLA law professor Adam Winkler is a specialist in American constitutional law, and his scholarship includes the right to bear arms. Adam Winkler, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You wrote an article last summer after the mass shooting at a Colorado movie theater that posed the question in the headline, "Why don't mass shootings lead to gun control?" In the wake of Newtown and the national reaction, are you convinced that mass shootings do not lead to gun control?
Well, we haven't seen any major new gun control laws enacted yet, so it's too early to say that things have really changed. You know, there once was a time where mass shootings or high-profile incidents, I should say, did lead to gun control laws. The St. Valentine's massacre in 1929 led to Congress passing the first major federal gun control law, the National Firearms Act of 1934, and the shootings of Robert F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King in 1968 did lead to help speed passage of at least the Gun Control Act of 1968. But we haven't seen anything in the wake of shootings like Columbine, Gabrielle Giffords, or the Aurora massacre. Maybe things after Newtown are different. We'll have to see.
Well, the last time we did see some movement on gun control, it was led by James Brady and his wife. He was, of course, severely injured in an attempted assassination of President Ronald Reagan back in 1981. Today, we have former Congressman Gabby Giffords severely injured in a mass shooting in Tucson, and her husband spearheading a parallel effort. What are the conditions here in 2013, and how do they compare with that effort that took place a few decades ago?
Well, I think they do compare favorably in some ways. We do have an incredibly sympathetic victim of gun violence out there pushing for new controls. We're also talking about, just as James Brady was, a Republican who had, and Sarah Brady had previously had been supportive of gun rights, now they were more in favor of gun control. Same thing with Gabrielle Giffords, who was relatively strong on gun issues until after her shooting. One big difference, however, is that President Bill Clinton, unlike President Barack Obama, both Democrats, Clinton had a Democratic Congress, a majority in 1993 and 1994 when he was able to pass the Brady background check bill and the first federal assault weapons ban. President Obama faces a Republican-controlled Congress, at least House of Representatives, that seems so far determined not to push for any gun control laws.
And how about the power of the National Rifle Association, which has been a strong opponent of any kind of measures like this? How is it today compared to the 1980s?
Well, the NRA is obviously a political powerhouse. But after the Brady background check law was adopted, an astute political analysis by none other than Bill Clinton said that the NRA was responsible for delivering the House of Representatives to the Republican Party, who won a majority for the first time in 50 years in 1994. And ever since then, Democrats have really made avoid gun control at all costs an informal plank in the party's platform. Things may be changing now. The NRA did suffer through a pretty bad November where, according to a Sunlight Foundation report, they had the worst return on investment of any major political spender in the 2012 elections.
Adam Winkler, UCLA law professor, stay with us. We're going to get back to you in a moment. We're asking what you think of some of these proposals that are out there for gun control. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's toll-free 800-289-5869, or write to us, conversation@KUOW.org. Let's bring Dave Workman into the conversation. He's from the Bellevue-based Second Amendment Foundation, promoting a better understanding of our rights to own and possess firearms. Dave, thanks for being with us.
Well, it's a pleasure, always.
Remind me again, what's in the Washington State Constitution regarding ownership of guns?
Well, the state constitution is more detailed than the Second Amendment. It recognizes the right of an individual citizen to bear arms in defense of himself or the state. And there's not a lot of wiggle room there. The Arizona state constitution, which was adopted about 20 years after we became a state back in 1889, they became a state in 1912, picks up the language of our state constitutional provision word for word. So it evidently was popular then, and it certainly has worked for over 100 years.
There's a revived interest in trying to implement some kind of a ban on assault weapons, trying to define what they are. It's coming at the state level. Ed Murray, a state Senate leader, is proposing that. The Seattle City Council wants to seek a ban on assault weapons, a ban on large-capacity ammunition magazines. What do you think of these ideas that are coming forward?
I think the 10-year history of the Clinton era ban demonstrated pretty well that these things don't work really to reduce crime. In fact, I wrote a column this morning for Examiner.com that went back to the study that was done for the Justice Department that showed that these guns really aren't used in that many crimes at all, and the ban, as a result, didn't have a great impact on crime during the 10 years it was active. I don't know that targeting a firearm is going to do any good. There are millions of those guns in circulation now. I know that there are a lot of people in Washington State who own them. They haven't hurt anybody, and the opinion of the gun community is, why should we be penalized for the acts of a madman?
Another thing that's being called for are universal background checks to include gun shows, which are currently exempt. What do you think of that idea?
Well, the Washington Arms Collectors runs the biggest gun show in the state of Washington, and they have a provision that they sell only to members. Members have to go through a background check to be allowed to join the organization. that seems to work. We don't sell to non-members. And as far as background checks are concerned, I know that it goes back right to the Brady Law back in 1993, and the National Instant Check was an alternative to a national waiting period, and gun owners seem to support that, so they prefer that to a national waiting period for sure.
Now all gun shows are not being run by this organization, right? Are there not some gun shows that are not being run by this organization that don't do background checks in our state?
I can presume that's the case. I don't involve myself with any of the other gun shows around the state, but if there's a federal firearms dealer who's got a table at a gun show, he has to, by law, conduct a background check. Private sales between individual members do not require background checks, no.
Dave, finally, what's your sense of the state legislature on this issue, on these proposals that are going to be brought forward, and what's your sense of Jay Inslee on further measures of gun control?
Well, Mr. Inslee has already indicated that he supports a ban on semi-automatic so-called assault rifles. They're not really assault rifles. But I don't think legislation like that is going to get to his desk. They've got a legislature that represents still a lot of rural areas in Washington State as opposed to Seattle. And I think that any kind of a discussion about banning a class of firearms is going to face a steep uphill battle.
Dave, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Sure.
Dave Workman from the Bellevue-based Second Amendment Foundation. We're talking about this revived effort to put in place some measures of gun control, some ways to stop gun violence. Beth Flynn is the executive director of Washington Cease Fire. It's an issue they've been working on for decades now. They're planning a Sunday march starting at 1:30 from Westlake Center to Seattle Center on these issues. Beth Flynn, what do you think about what Dave Workman just said about the political climate in Olympia? He doesn't think there's much of a chance of getting through any of these measures. What do you think?
Well, Ross, I think that the legislators' will to change always lags behind the will of the voters. So I think we need to rely on the courage of the community to lead by example, and that's part of the reason that we are having the march and the rally on Sunday. I guess today Governor Inslee came out and against the assault weapons, so I saw an email come across my desk a few moments ago, so it sounds like that was news to you as well.
Yes, it was. I had not heard that. So you think that there may be some changes on this. Now, when we talk about gun control, we use one word, but it involves a lot of different things. Is there one of these proposals that's out there that you think is most likely to get the support of lawmakers?
Well, I think the assault weapons ban is the bill that has the greatest support and from the will of the people. I wanted to address something that Mr. Workman said.
Go right ahead.
The Clinton ban didn't work. That bill was not really specific enough. It excluded so many weapons in that category. The piece of legislation that we're currently working on is much more comprehensive and detailed.
So you think that can be drawn clearly? There was a lot of criticism, even by supporters of it, that there were too many loopholes. It allowed gun manufacturers to make weapons that could easily be modified to go around the ban. You think the law can be written tightly enough to lock that down?
Well, the law that we're working on right now is being written very tightly. What happens with that once it gets, you know, before lawmakers, it's hard to say.
Beth Flynn, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ross.
Beth Flynn is with the executive director with the Washington Cease Fire. Once again, they're doing a rally at 1:30 Sunday from Westlake Center to Seattle Center. We're at 206-543-5869, 800-289-5869. And the question is pretty simple. What do you think about some of these proposals that have been bandied about both nationally and locally? It is news to us that the governor has signed on to an assault weapons ban. Maybe we could kind of track down that story, which Dave Workman told us about today. UCLA law professor Adam Winkler is a specialist in American constitutional law, and one of his specialties includes the right to bear arms. Adam Winkler, does the wording of the Second Amendment to the Constitution guide us at all when we're talking about some of these laws that are being bandied about today? Things like universal background checks, including gun shows, things like a ban on assault weapons, things like a ban on large capacity ammunition magazines.
Well, the text of any constitutional provision tends to be vague and ambiguous and not really address many of the hard questions that contemporary lawmakers have to confront. The Second Amendment is really no different. It doesn't say anything necessarily about assault weapons, but we do have some important Supreme Court rulings, notably the 2008 decision in a case called District of Columbia against Heller, and a 2010 decision in a case called City of Chicago against McDonald. And these two cases, the Supreme Court provided much more guidance for what kinds of laws were permissible and were not permissible. I think most of the types of reforms that we're talking about in the wake of the Newtown massacre would likely survive judicial scrutiny. But there are some close questions, and there are some unanswered questions that the Supreme Court will have to weigh in on.
When the Constitution was drafted, firearms meant muskets. Do advances in gun technology require a reinterpretation of the constitutional language?
I don't think that changes in technology require a complete overhaul of a constitutional amendment. None of the constitutional amendments that we have really apply to the same technology as we had in the founding era. In the First Amendment, we have the Twitter and we have the Internet, which really changes how we communicate fundamentally. But we shouldn't reinterpret the First Amendment for that reason. But one thing I think it's really important to make clear, as I detail in my book Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America, while we've always had the right to bear arms in America, and it is properly understood as being an individual right for personal protection, we've also always had gun control laws. And the Second Amendment was not designed to be a libertarian license for anyone to have any gun anywhere they wanted. And there is room under the Second Amendment for effective and reasonable gun control laws.
Adam Winkler, thanks very much. Adam Winkler, UCLA law professor, specialist in constitutional law. Let's go to the phones now. I've been asking about now that the outrage and the horror of the initial event have certainly not passed, but they've hardened into proposals that are coming forward today from the governor of New York State. We hear, we're trying to track this down, that Jay Inslee has come out in favor of some kind of an assault weapons ban. He's not the Senate Majority Leader anymore. Senate Leader Ed Murray, saying that he's going to propose a state ban on assault weapons. What do you think about that? Let's go to Brenda. She's listening to us today in Edmonds. Brenda, what do you think?
I think that we need to seriously change all our laws and completely restrict who can have a gun, how many guns you can have. You shouldn't be able to stockpile. We need a national registry. When you go to buy a gun, you need to look and see who this person is, if they have a criminal background, how many guns they've bought recently. There's no reason for assault rifles whatsoever except to kill people. And when this gentleman was talking earlier about the Clinton administration ban and how it didn't do anything about crime, we're not talking about crime. We're talking about mass shootings of little children. It's insane. The majority of Americans want gun control. They don't want these weapons around. We've let the NRA push us around forever because we just haven't spoken up. It's time to speak up. We need to change. And I am so sick of being bullied by the NRA.
Yeah.
Everybody has to stand up, and I will be there on Sunday with my family and everyone else I can gather. It's got to stop.
We're going up to Arlington, where we've got Chuck on the line, who's got a different idea, a different approach to this. Chuck, what is it?
Well, I'm in my truck, and essentially, why don't we tax each gun? You have a 38 special, I guess, to protect your home. Okay, pay $1,000 a year for that, for taxing. And then just go up geometrically with the taxes. Oh, I don't know, an assault weapon, that kind of definition of that type of rifle. Why not make just tax them $100,000 a year to have it? I don't know all the details of it, but it seems like if you tax something, it kind of controls it. And that might eliminate a lot of problems.
Well, it'll ensure that low-income people don't own assault rifles, that's for sure. Chuck, thanks a lot for your phone call. Thanks for all of your phone calls. And, of course, we're going to stay on this issue as it evolves at the Washington State Legislature getting underway. And not that long, we'll see whether these proposals have any legs to them. From KUOW, I'm Ross Reynolds.